It's time for the Podcateer Podcast.
Good morning, Christopher Robin.
Oh, good morning, Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, well, glad to meet you. Name's Tigger. T-I-double-G-R. That's spelled Tigger.
Now, isn't this a clever disguise?
It's the Podcateer Podcast with your host, Mark Tanner. Take it away, Mark.
This could be about anything. And if you're like me, you wait and see, for I've got curiosity.
Hello, Podcateers, and welcome to episode 66 of the Podcateer Podcast, being recorded live on my way to the Disneyland Resort. I am in the Bavarian mobile recording studio, my trusty silver 330 CI convertible, and I'm cruising down, right now, just as I completed the turn, I'm on Ball Road, headed to the Disneyland Resort and the parking garage. In the background, you hear some ragtime piano music. Now, I am playing that. Now, it is not music that I recorded at Disneyland, but it is very reminiscent of music that you will hear being played at Disneyland outside the Coca-Cola Terrace, where for many, 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 many years, longer than I've been around, that's not quite true, because I've been around just about as long as Disneyland, as I was born the same year, but for a very long time, they have had a piano sitting there, and a gentleman playing ragtime piano. And I am going to dig up some information, what I can, on the internet about the piano players, and have a little segment on that on today's show. I don't have the information yet, so I can't really comment on it, but I know the internet. And I know that there will be just a superfluous flood of information about the piano players at Disneyland. They're definitely good piano players. Now, what I'm playing for you here is, as I said, it's not one of them, but it is the same kind of music. I was very surprised to find that there is a ton of ragtime piano on iTunes. In fact, for $10, well, it was actually, I think it was $12, because I had already purchased one of those songs, so I got it at a discounted rate. There was a album with 42 ragtime piano songs for $12. You can't beat that. I mean, it was by very well-known ragtime piano players. Probably the best-known one that I know is Crazy Otto. And probably where I was introduced to ragtime piano was a song called Crazy Otto Rag, which was very popular one time back in the 60s, late 50s, early 60s. That's where I was introduced to ragtime piano. And I always enjoyed, when I went to the park, listening to the piano player play that. And in fact, the gentleman that played up till a couple of years ago, and then he not too long back retired, and they have a new piano player there. But he is, I don't know if he's quite as good as the guy before, but he's really good. The guy before was just kind of something special. He played Crazy Otto Rag for me one time. He knew it, and he was... did a great job playing it. The piano there is Crazy Otto. I don't know the fellow's name other than calling him Crazy Otto, but anyway, Crazy Otto had his piano tuned in a special way, like a little off key, and you could tell it was him just by that. And you know what I'm going to do is, I think right now, I'm going to play a little snippet of Crazy Otto Rag by Crazy Otto. And you'll see what I'm talking about.
Mr. Piano Player, no one plays it gayer. The crazy auto rag. On your upright piano, in your lazy manner, the crazy auto rag. How we love that melody from far across the sea. Keep it moderato like that crazy auto, not too hot. Oh, Mr. Piano Player, you should be the mayor with that crazy auto rag.
Hello, Podcateers. I'm recording this segment here in my home recording studio. I hope you're enjoying the rest of the show. You know what this segment's about? I didn't get a chance to do the research before I went to Disneyland. And I've done some now about the piano players that play at Disneyland and have played in the past at Disneyland. Probably the most famous of which is Rod Miller, who played at Disneyland from 1969 to 2006. He started October the 1st, 1969, while moonlighting at Shakey's. Which, what he was talking about, he just played like every single waking hour that he had. He was playing the piano. It's no wonder he's so great. And I've got some recordings here I'm going to play for you that he did at the Disney Museum. And several old segments. That's why YouTube is so wonderful. People share their audio and video files. Stuff that could have been lost, you know, ended up in oblivion because nobody but some grandma had it on a videotape. But instead of it just being lost, it's out there on YouTube where everybody can keep it and it'll just last forever. And that's just really wonderful. That's one of the best things about the internet. Now, in addition to Rod Miller, two that I found some YouTube video of were Alan Thompson Jr. and Johnny May. Both of them, they're great piano players. Now, currently, there's a gentleman named Patrick. They always call him Ragtime and then whatever their first name is. So we have Ragtime Patrick playing currently. And I could not find his last name on the internet. So if anyone knows, email me and I'll put it out here next time I make mention. And there is several really good pieces of audio here. One of the best ones was Johnny May and Rod Miller. Rod Miller was out at the park as a guest, and he sat down and played a four-handed version of, I'm trying to remember the song. It's a very common old, you know, very familiar old song, and I can't remember the name of it right now. but I'm going to play that for you. There is a Rod Meller with an 8-year-old named Weston Mizumoto, and it was Weston's 8th birthday. It was sometime in 2006. He was out at the park, and his mom or dad or some relative recorded the video and put it on YouTube. But there's some just amazing stuff out there, too much for me to put in one podcast. So if you like piano music, especially ragtime piano music, get out on YouTube and take a look, because there's some great stuff out there. And I'm also tonight going to play a couple other pieces, at least one. I don't know if I'm going to have time for more than one, by a gentleman named that went by the name of Crazy Otto. Now, I don't have Otto's last name, but that was his famous name that he went by. And I'm going to play that for you. Name of the song is Alexander's Ragtime Band, which is one of the most commonly played ragtime piano music. So this is, like I say, this was going to be kind of centered on that type of music. In addition, of course, to a little mention of Gay Day, which happened to be the day that I was out at the park. And I'll talk about that a little later. So here's some of the music. I'm just going to play them back to back to back. The piano players at Disneyland on Main Street at Coca-Cola Corner. Say that 10 times real fast. Here we go.
You count it up.
2, 3, 4.
Was that cool or what? Now, I had to kind of rearrange songs just a little bit. I was going to play another segment for you that I got out at YouTube from Disneyland Audio, but it was the same song, so I'm going to shove it down the line just a little bit, so you're at least not hearing the same song back to back to back to back. So this next song that I'm playing for you is the old song, The 5'2", Eyes of Blue. And I'm sure you've heard of the song before. If not, then you're really, really young. But anybody my age has heard the song. It's rather famous. And this, what they did here is he had everybody take keys or change or something hard out of their pocket and tap it on stuff to accompany him while he played the piano. And you'll hear all the clicking noise in the background as he plays. So here is spectacular, soon to be, if not already, Disney legend Rod Meller playing the piano at Coca-Cola Corner, being accompanied by a bunch of guests. So here we go with that.
Do a tap.
Are you ready?
Here we go.
Yeah.
Rogers.
You know, it's amazing watching these people play the piano. They make it look so easy. And boy, I'll tell you, as somebody who has tried to play the piano, it is not easy. My daughter took lessons for years, and she plays pretty good, but I mean, you know, nothing like that. And see that 8-year-old kid play the piano like that? Wow. I don't know what to tell you. And Rod Miller, I mean, gee. You know, but he just played all the time. Now, I'm going to play this segment here coming up next. It's from a performance he did at the Walt Disney Family Museum. Now, there's a lot of background noise. There's one segment where a truck drives in and makes a bunch of racket, and I apologize for that. The quality of the sound isn't that good, but he goes into the background to how he got started playing at Disneyland. It's really very interesting. It's a little over 10 minutes long, so it's kind of a long segment, and it's not all piano playing. There's a lot of him, like I said, given the history of how he got started working for Disney. So here is Mr. Rod Miller at the Disney Family Museum.
Shakey's Pizza Parlor back in the old days.
Yes, I remember.
And I had a day job painting signs at Fed Bar, which became the Target stores. So anyway, Bud Yeoman, who owned 8 Shakey's Pizza Parlors, he also knew Wally Clearman, who owned the Northwoods Inn in San Gabriel on Roseview Boulevard, up there where the Rosebury goes by. So anyway, then I got to meet him, then they did a piano player for Monday nights. So then I did the Shakey's Wednesday through Sunday, and I worked Monday through Friday at painting signs, and then I did Monday night over there. So I was playing all the time. So then Wally Clearman knew Mr. Strader from the Strader Hotel in Durango, Colorado. So then he was over, and Bud Yeoman and all three of them there one night at Northwoods Inn, and said, Mr. Strader, who was like 90 years old, and says, I'd like to have you come over to Durango and play for a few nights. You know, I said, well, how am I get away? I said, well, you know, not too long. He said, well, maybe like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday night thing. I said, yeah, that could work. And I thought it'd be kind of cool because it was in June, but then I would love fireworks, so I could go buy all the illegal fireworks and drive them back to California. I did, you know. And I learned from another kid, we used to always go buy fireworks. We would just put shorts on and throw towels over the seats, and the guard would always say, "Where are you guys coming from?" "Oh, Lake Havasu." "Yeah, come on, get out of here. Trunk would be full of fireworks." I mean, that's how close we got to the cut. So anyway, I was over there playing, and Sonny Anderson, who hired me, wanted me to play at Disneyland. And I said, "Well, how much did they pay?" And he goes, $6.26 an hour. I said, "Well, I'm making $10 an hour." And he said, "Well, we can't pay you that much." I said, "Well, then I guess I'm not going to work there." And he bugged me for 2 days, and I said, "I'm not, you know, I make $10 an hour." He said, "Well, we just can't pay you that much." Well, then 3 months later, I had belonged to the Maple Leaf Club, which is a ragtime club of the good ragtime players, like you had Johnny Maddox and Max McGrath and Joe Kringer-Starr and Lou Busch. And then there was Jim Hessian and Dave Bowerd and Dick Zimmerman, who was a magician, worked at the Magic Castle. He could sit there with no sleeves or anything, take a peanut and go, he'd be just gone. I don't know where the heck it goes. He did that to a waitress one night at the Northwoods Inn. And she said, "What?" He said, "I just do this," and they just disappear. And she said, and he says, "It's just a problem. Every time I pick them up and do that, they disappear." She said, "Well, just don't do that. They won't disappear." So anyway, then we had a Maple Leaf Club there, and Johnny Maddox was there, Max McGrath, and a lot of, and Ian Wood come from England. He was there that day, and I was there, and Sonny Anderson was there looking for a piano player still, and said, "Well, we found you're not getting away this time." And I said, "Oh, really?" He said, "Well, we decided we could pay you $8 an hour." And I said, "Oh, really? So, well, I make $10 an hour." Seemed to have forgotten. And after the thing was over, then later I played that night, so then a banjo player I knew came in, the tuba player came in, you know, it was guys would come in and just have fun. We just had a party, you know, it was just like party time. So after it was over, he sat there, and Sonny Anderson said, "I need to talk to you." So I sat there and he said, "If we give you the $10 an hour, will you start this Saturday?" And I said, "Yeah, I guess I could try it." And he said, "Well, if you, you can just do it for 2 weeks. If you don't like it, you can quit." You know, the old fucking line thing, you know, just get him in once, they'll like it. So anyway, so I said, "Well, what time of day do I play?" He goes, "Well, you work 10 to 10 to 5. And I go, "In the morning?" "Well, yeah, we're only open 10 to 6 because they're closed by the Tuesday." This is 1969. So anyway, and I go out there and I do my thing. And he said, "Well, why don't you come in October 1st? That'll be a Wednesday. Just to kind of get the flavor, and I'll get you, you know, at Harbor House. I'll sign, you know, bring you in." It was so easy in that day. And he said, "Just wear your little costume you got, and everything will be fine." So I did. Of course, the piano bench was too low, and I had phone books to get up high enough. And so I did that. And the very next day, or the next Saturday, the following Saturday from the Wednesday, out comes the little supervisor with a contract for me to sign. Which I said, "Sonny wants you to sign this." I said, "Well, if Sonny wants me to sign it, I guess he'll come out here with it." So the next day, out they come again, you know. And then the next Saturday, I guess the word had got back to Burbank that they had this new piano player. And the bigwigs all came down. Carter Walker was the head of entertainment, or the park at the time. And I didn't know any of these people. I came from a farm. I didn't know anything but cows and pigs and chickens and horses and all that. And so this other kid that was there, something, he knew them all because he worked with the animators. And so he said, "Just a moment." And he got up and he went around, stood there. He came back later with this big smile and basically was, "Well, they said you're worth $1 million for it." I said, "Oh, really?" So, of course, they wanted me to sign the contract today. I said, "No." Sunday came, the last day of the 2 weeks. So Sonny comes out, he comes in the side door there. He's standing there with the brown envelope. And I get done and he says, "So you haven't signed my contract." He says, "Yeah, I know." He says, "So you really don't like working here?" I said, "Oh, it's all right." He says, "Well, why don't you have to sign my contract?" And I said, knowing what I had heard, see, I said, "Disneyland is open Wednesday through Sunday, isn't it?" And he said, "Yes, it is." And I said, "If I work Wednesday through Sunday, I'll sign your contract." He goes, "Well, I just can't make that decision right here. I mean, I'm tomorrow, right?" I mean, he was just lost for words, you know, to say. And then all of a sudden he says, "I tell you what I'll do." He said, "You're about ready." He put the contract in the piano because he wrote Wednesday through Sunday, 10 to 5. And he drew a line and he says, and he put it tentatively. And he says, "Now if you sign this, doesn't mean that you're stuck on a 2-day weekend. You sign this, you know, Wednesday through Sunday, And if I can't get that approved, then it's your choice whether you want to continue Saturday and Sunday or not. I said, okay. I said, well, how soon will I find out? He said, well, give me a couple of days. The next morning, he called me before I went to FedMart to paint signs. And he said, on Wednesday, you start. You're going to be the first full-time piano player to work at Coke Corner. I said, okay, so I'm going to work. I'm all excited. And I said, this is my last day. The man, you can't quit. I said, watch me. He said, well, who are we going to get paint signs? I said, I really don't care. So I worked at Disneyland 5 days a week. Then I worked at Shakey's 5 nights a week. That's how I could buy a house in 1973. So, and then I go from Disneyland. You know, when you're young, you get all this energy. Now it's just great to get up. But I worked there, then I worked Shakey's till midnight, then we went to another place just another couple miles down the road called the Barrel House. A lady named Gloria owned the place, and she had a banjo tuba player that played there. So we'd go down there and play from like 12, and the whole crowd of Shakey's would just clear the place out, and we'd all go down there, and she had like spaghetti and sandwiches and different things, so a lot of people would go to Shakey's, and they would just sit there and listen to the music, then they'd go down there and get some food. And then I'd play till 2, and then she'd take the band and myself, and we'd go to the Honey Pot, the Honey Bear restaurant. She'd feed us breakfast, and I'd get home like at 4 in the morning. I'd be back at Disneyland at 10 o'clock.
Oh, my gosh.
And we did that on Friday and Saturday night, and then, of course, when Monday came, I was like, boom, dead. Then I worked at the Northwoods Inn. You know, so it was like I was playing all the time. And I had a player piano. That's how I learned to play. And I got all the records by Joe Fingers Carr, whose real name was Lou Bush, and Johnny Maddox, and Joanne Cass was on the Lawrence Welk Show, and Knuckles O'Toole, and so that's how I learned to play.
You learned to play roles. On a player piano.
Yeah, you know, you pump the roll, you know.
Yes.
And now I got one of those Yamaha disc players. You just hit the button and you can record things or slow things down or change key. I mean, it's just terrific. But that's the way I learned things. And so Joe Fingers Carr, I used to call and talk to him on the phone. I'd find an old record, one of his records, and I'd call. And in them days, you could get anybody's phone number. You just call the operator. Yeah. Oh, yeah, here it is. And nowadays, everybody's got block numbers, including mine. So I learned a lot of his technique, because okay. A lot of things that people would do, if you were doing like 40 Flurry, see, it was just octave. But his whole thing, instead of doing that, his thing was, did you start from the C? See, he gets a lighter sound than go. It's a more bouncier, fun sound.
Segment. Unfortunately, they didn't complete the entire performance. They cut it off for some reason or another. Either there wasn't much after this that was worth recording, or maybe they ran out of space on their recorder or something. So that was the end of it. That was all they had. So next up, I'm going to play for you Rod Miller again, with a young man named Weston Mizumoto. It's on his 8th birthday. Now, the only bad thing is he's playing the same song that I played with Johnny May earlier. So, here we go. I apologize for a repeat of the same song. But this young man, it's 8 years old, did a really nice job on the piano. So, here we go with Rod Miller and Weston Mizumoto.
That's low. Okay. That's low.
Now, that piece of music that I just played for you and played earlier is called I've Got Music. And it is, of course, a vintage piece of music, which you should expect listening to Ragtime, that it's not going to be anything real recent. Now, the one other thing I wanted to go into today, besides the piano music, is the fact that when I was out at the weekend, out at the park this weekend, it just happened to be Gay Days at Disneyland, which was October the 5th through the 7th. Now, they hold this both at Disneyland and at Orlando, at Disney World. And I understand that this started in 1998 when an event that they had scheduled at Disneyland was canceled. And they decided to hold an impromptu event. It has continued every year since then. Now, I could tell you that there were, going by the color red, now I did just go by the color red because a lot of people wore red shirts that were not gay. But a lot of the shirts, they had the one of the multitude of Gay Day symbols on the shirts. There was an official Gay Day symbol, but then there were a number of other ones. Some of them I really liked. I mean, they're very well done. There was one that had something similar to the old style sign with the flags. And that was probably my favorite of the shirts. If I were gay, I would definitely not be ashamed to wear that shirt. It was a very nice shirt. And there were a lot of very funny people out there. There were some people wearing red and white shirts that had a picture of Tinkerbell on the front, and they were wearing fairy wigs, which I thought, you know, it's nice that people have a sense of humor. You know, so many people these days are so just up in the air about, you know, the slightest little insult. These people are just taking the insults and just making it part of who they are. You know, just, you know, you're going to call me that name, I'll just take that name and make it part of me, which is cool. You know, it deflects the anger and just makes it not a big problem. And I thought it was very humorous, and I liked their attitude. And there was one gentleman that was wearing a feather jacket that was red. At least it looked like feathers. And it was bright red. And he had a couple of people accompanying him holding umbrellas over his head. So he was some kind of dignitary, I guess, at the event. And there were probably 30 or 40 people together in a group wearing red tutus. Which, I mean, you know, Disneyland's not going to let you go too much overboard. You know, some of the gay pride parades get a little ridiculous. You know, I'm sorry. But even the people that I know that are gay think it's kind of ridiculous for them to go so much overboard. And they make all of the people that are gay look foolish when they, you know. You know, hey, it is what it is. It's some of the parades and stuff like that. And those of you that I'm talking about, they'll know what I'm talking about. You know, the vast majority of gay people are no different than you or me. The only difference is that they like different people than you and I do. So, but anyway, I don't want to go too far into that. This is a Disney podcast and not a political or, that's not really political, but anyway, it doesn't delve into personal choices and so forth. But anyway, I wanted to comment on the fact that I just happened to be out at Disneyland on Gay Days. So that was, as I said, October 5th through 7th. So if you are interested in that, you might take a look on the internet, because there's all sorts of information. That's where I got the information that I have. So, on with the podcast.
Hey,
Well, I'm over here in Cars Land, and I just heard a first. I heard him playing Bob Dylan over the loudspeaker at the Disneyland Resort. Well, I think the world's fixing to end. Well, it's supposed to in December, I guess. I think per the Babylonian calendar, everything's supposed to end on December 21st. But I don't think it's gonna. Oh, what's going on here? There's helicopters been circling over Radiator Springs Racers for about 15 or 20 minutes doing circles. I'm surprised they allow them to fly that low over the park. You would think that if something were to happen to that helicopter, it would be bad news. Not just for the people in the helicopter, but for the people on the ground underneath the helicopter. Well, it is definitely crowded here at California Adventure. I'm right out front of the Cozy Cone Motel. Me and 100 Brazilian are my closest friends. Now over here in Cars Land, contingent there is of the Gay Days folks seem to have centered over here in Cars Land. Since it's the most popular part of California Adventure, I think that'd be predictable. Yeah, it looks like they're getting set up for DJ. Kind of staking out the intersection here of Route 66 and Cross Street. That's where DJ does his little performance, and the waitress is from Flo's, a place of music. Ah, here he comes. That was like right on cue. And I don't think I ever got the whole performance of DJ and whatever they call the little group of waitresses that performs with them. So I think I'll hang around here and I'll record that, play it for you.
That's what you want to do, go watch cars?
Here comes DJ.
They don't call me DJ for nothing!
Yeah. please.
Hey, I have an idea.
What's that, sugar?
Well, DJ, you've been on a long road trip.
She's right, you're pretty dusty.
Let's give you a car wash.
I love it.
That's a great idea, Molly. You know what? Let's get everyone's help.
Yeah. Ladies, this has been a truly awesome party. I hate to leave y'all, but I got me a gig further down the road.
Well, you know what, DJ? We just hope you like our music. Hope you like yours.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, DJ, before you roll, let's rock this town one more time.
You got it.
Woo! Woo!
Patrick playing the piano here, and he's fixing to be accompanied by the Dapper Dans.
Who's ready? there. Oh, what would you like to hear, young lady?
It's a secret.
That is because we are celebrating Halloween time.
Halloween time. What a wonderful tradition, the season of trick-or-treating. I sure do love Halloween time, yeah. That's just like all the bright orange pumpkins.
Black cats, the deep yellow haze of the harvest moon.
The many shades of green, a little brother Billy after eating all that candy. Oh, what a tradition.
Oh, how about a little something easier to keep down, guys? A seasonal song about my sweet tart.
Ah, does she call you a sugar daddy?
That would be
Candy Corny. Candy Corny. Oh, goodbye, my Candy Corny baby. Farewell, my own true love, honey. I'm gonna disappear and leave you. Never to see you anymore. I'll carve my jack-o'-lantern by myself and carve a smile upside down.
Some girls scratch our itch.
So there's nothing to it, and we'll see her riding upon her groom in the moonlight.
Just before the clock strikes midnight,
we'll be rich then, always spellbound and all. That's the days we then recall. Gumdrops, then the drops, big moon pie, sweet jawbreakers, jungle sighs.
I need a dentist. Hey guys! That reminds me, my dentist won Dentist of the Year last year.
Oh, really? That's great. What do you get for something like that, Robbie?
A little plaque.
Goodbye, my dear morning baby. Farewell, my own true love. I'm going to disappear and leave you. Never to see you any
now. You see me now.
I'll cover my jack-o'-lantern by myself and carve a smile upside down.
Socialize. Moonlight high with a little tree.
I'm a man that's
pretty.
squint with eerie eyes.
Stop and shriek
and harmonize. Bring the ghosts that want to socialize. Clean spirits well, restless bones etherealize. Rise, groups of every size. Bring the ghosts, come on to socialize. Bring the ghosts, come on to socialize.
Oh, hey. And now the one that's come up for you gets to become an honorary Tavern Band of this night.
Don't forget anybody too well.
You won't. Someone with style, conviction, grace, fashion sense, courage. Anyone will do, Steve.
This is Atchison.
Atchison. Say hi, Atchison.
Yomazon.
Atchison, she can help us with the next song. Atchison, say your part in the next song is very, very easy. We're going to sing a song and we'll leave out some words. And your job is to fill in the missing words. And in this case, you speak English? English? A little bit.
She replied.
Oh, I never shall forget the Dapper Dan Quartet at Disneyland. We met her in the park. At Disneyland, we met her in the park. In the park.
Well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We've got a big round of applause for a ragtime family in the park.
This old piano of mine, piano of mine.
Hey! Thank you very much for the top guys at this event. We'll be on the down Main Street all day. We are listening and viewing. Thank you so much. And happy Halloween.
Well, that was Patrick at the Dapper Dans. Here on a beautiful October day. Yeah, October the 6th, by the way. 2012 on Main Street, USA, at the Disneyland Resort. On to the show. Well, Podketeers, I made my way out to the Esplanade, and I'm walking around here, walking on the names of all these people that paid lots and lots of money for these bricks. Sure wish I had one, but hey, oh well. They'll do something else, and I'll do that later. So, anyway, as per usual, on this fine October afternoon, I hope you enjoyed the show. A little bit of DJ and the Dapper Dans there on Main Street. And I hope you enjoyed the rest of my chatting and rambling on and on and on. And I hope you'll join us here next week for another fun-filled episode of the Podketeer Podcast. So, y'all take care of yourselves. You have a magical Disney week, and we'll see you at the park.
Podketeer is in no way associated with the Walt Disney Company, or any of its affiliates. Any similarity to living persons, or Disney characters, without satirical purpose, or the act of reviewing a product, or reporting on an event, is entirely coincidental. This podcast is a production of Toys Etc. in Southern California, and is protected by a Creative Commons, Share Alike 3.0 license. To contact us at Podketeer, please email us at podketeer@earthlink.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Disneyland has now concluded its normal operating day.
Yeah, folks, and me and my pals hope you had a swell time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mickey?
Uh-huh.
It's that time.
What time is that, Minnie?
Oh, Goofy?
What? Oh.
Now it's time to say goodnight to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
So is Mickey Mouse.
K-E-Y.
Why?
Because we like you.
M-O-U-S-E.
Ha!
Goodbye, everybody.
Be careful getting home. For your shopping convenience, this evening, Main Street will remain open for an additional half hour.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome. Disneyland is your land. Here age relives fond memories of the past, and here youth may savor the challenge and promise of the future. Disneyland is dedicated to the ideals, the dreams, and the hard facts that have created America, with the hope that it will be a source of joy and inspiration to all the world.